My name is Sharon Whippy. I live in Melbourne. I collaborated with my sister on the script for the Fiji venue, which opens the fall.
Talofa Lover, my name is Marina Alofunia McCartney. I wrote and directed the Samoan vignette.
Koroparani Lena, my name is Matasila Freshwater, and I wrote and directed the Solomon Islands piece.
Kia ora koutou katoa, ko Bex Arahanga tōku ingoa. My name is Bex Arahanga, and I wrote and directed the final piece, and bye.
Is this film a transitional moment for you?
Oh, okay.
I'm looking at you because you always talk.
It's definitely not a moment. It's definitely like a transitional journey. It's kind of a transitional unfolding.
Absolutely. It's transformed my life.
I'm not going to say anything.
You're like, bring it, girl, bring it.
Wait, what are you not saying?
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's just because it has. I think that's the thing. It's been something that just I continue to reflect on. Is just the I'm going to use a word that I use all the time, extraordinary.
She does. She loves it.
She really
just
does.
Go-to word for this whole thing, because it's just, it's been an incredible opportunity.
How did it all come about? Sorry if you've answered that question millions of times before.
You tell it really well.
So thanks, Sharon. Kerry and Kyle, Kerry Wadakia, Kyle McNaughton are the producers. They're a husband and wife team, and they had originally produced a feature film called Waru, which was written and directed by 9 Māori women, and this was the second in that trilogy. And the way, because they're also making food, the way they went about it was they either put a call out or shoulder tapped, up to 70, so 70 women of Māori and Pacific descent. And then they decided on the 9 women. And
they put out an EOI.
Yeah.
And got, they shoulder tapped some, but then they also got
received about, okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
So then they sent out an EOI and got people to just sort of write.
Sorry, what's an EOI?
Oh, sorry, an expression of interest.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, my bad.
Just for the listeners.
An expression of interest. I think you need to answer a couple of questions and maybe just sort of write, you know.
That's what
was
I
it,
had
was
to
it
do.
Your motivations for
yeah, like
what you thought
why
you would bring
why
to
you would
or?
Want to make something like this, and also kind of how you work with people and
what did you write?
Oh my god, I have no idea.
Oh,
like,
does anyone
I wouldn't even
what
remember the next day what I
I'm
wrote.
I'm trying to think because I know because it was an online form, right? Because
yeah.
I remember
yes.
I got an email. I think I got an email quite late when
yes.
I was searching for people, and I just remember one of my main comments was that there was no box to tick for Solomon Islanders.
Oh.
So it's like, I have ticked New Zealander because there's no Solomon Island box to tick. And Kiria immediately replied, and she's like, "We were meant to have one. We're so sorry. It was PNG/Solomons." And then from there we started chilling.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I can't remember.
I think I actually talked about the ocean. I drew on Billy Helfer's
academic.
I love Billy Helfer, who is a Tongan academic. Who wrote a seminal essay. It was quite changing in terms of the thought around the Pacific and how it had been viewed. And this was in the 80s when he released that. But I remember reading that essay as a student, and that really kind of started a part of my sort of decolonization process. So I talked about that. And he uses metaphors he talks about the use of the ocean as our highways. We never saw ourselves as being isolated, and yet from a Western perspective, we see ourselves, the West has viewed us as the sort of vast place filled with small islands, whereas we saw ourselves as islands in a sea of islands rather than islands in a sea. So I think I talked about that. But we all came together on the 2nd of April. No, 2nd of May. 2nd of May 2018.
Crazy.
That's when we all walked together for the first time. And we went to a writer's retreat on the 2nd of May, where they brought Kerry and Kyle, brought us together.
On an island.
Waiheke Island, just
lifted out of our lives. That's what they had to do, literally,
yeah.
Lift us out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And put us somewhere. So it was just
concentrated.
And we were there for 6 days, and by the end of 6 days, we had written a first draft feature film.
Mm.
And so how did you figure out some of the things, like the style and, you know, how it's going to be one take? And
oh, so that was already set.
That
was already the parameters. Yeah.
Yeah,
so that was also the parameters of Wadu,
yeah.
The first film, and it'll be the parameters of the next, of the third one as well. So it's has to be shot on your island where you're from. You have to use a lead female actress from that island, you know. So for me, it was Māori, you know, Solomon Islands,
mm-hmm.
etc. And a single shot where possible.
One day to rehearse,
and that's with the camera.
Water.
One day to shoot it.
Water thing.
Yeah, everything had to be centered around Vai or Wai, so that's water, means water, and also the lead character needed to be her name, but whatever in whatever language.
Yeah,
it's from.
And it would
yeah.
follow her journey throughout her life.
Yeah,
sort of in 10 years.
It was supposed to be sort of 10 year blocks.
Yeah.
But it ended up being more sort of single important moments.
Yeah,
in
yeah,
your life that weren't necessarily huge, like, you know, didn't seem huge, but something
moments
changed.
Of decisions.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And were they personal, or how did you decide on the ages?
Yeah.
How did you split the ages up?
It seemed relatively organic, right? I think
yeah.
for me and Amberly, one of the youngest filmmakers, we felt that we couldn't tell a story sort of beyond our age or that much beyond
mm-hmm.
our age. And so I think that's when we had a lot of the other directors were amazing and were like, no, we will take this story and this is
mm-hmm.
where we can fit. So
mm-hmm.
there was a lot of flexibility. And, you know, I think that was really beautiful and generous, like you and Diana specifically shifted to accommodate
yes,
us
right.
because we were limited by our own sort of age, I think.
Yeah. But when we first came together, because we didn't know each other, I kind of knew one of the directors, but I didn't know anyone else. And we came together on that first morning, we just sat around a big table and we did like our own, we just introduced ourselves and where we're from and who we are. And then I think it was one of us said, well, why don't we just tell what stories we're thinking,
mm-hmm.
why don't we just like start talking about it. And so we just went around and talked about
it. Was weird
the
eh?
Stories
yeah.
that we were thinking for her
for the
character, and it just actually her life
I
just sort of unfolded
yeah.
and evolved. There wasn't any like, well, I want to do that age,
yeah.
but well, no, I want to do that. There was none of that
no.
at all.
It was just organic.
It was,
yeah.
was pretty
amazing.
Yeah.
You
knew there
the
was one director
wanted.
That really floated.
Yeah.
And that was Diana Fuemana, and she, because she's been working in theatre for years and she's a storyteller, and so she just wanted to hear what everyone's stories were, and then she was floating if there was going to be a gap somewhere. She
yeah,
knew
she
she'd be able to find a story for that gap.
Yeah.
Which is what she did.
And which one was hers?
Second to last one.
Nui.
Yeah,
yeah,
Nui.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Okay, that's
mm.
beautiful, yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
the nana who has to send her granddaughter away.
Yeah, and
mm.
hasn't been back, is that right?
Yeah, go
yeah.
and come back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go and come back.
And it's interesting because I think we had all sort of come into this knowing that we were working. It was about collaboration. Like
yes.
we weren't here to
yeah.
be like,
no,
oh,
no yeah,
so
yeah.
Sure.
it was going to
we
have to be
like,
get your ego
we
out of
just
the room.
Knew we
yeah.
had
yeah.
to make it work for all of us, and I think that was sort of what grounded us continually throughout
yeah.
the process.
Because
right.
they all needed to work together. There
yeah.
needed to be some sort of cohesive narrative, and our pieces were only as strong as them becoming the one.
The
sum.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was bigger than all of us.
That's right.
You know,
yes.
the whole
right.
story was bigger than just one person.
It was really beautiful to keep remembering that.
Yes.
So
we were
guiding
reminded,
you.
I think, throughout the process in really
yeah.
amazing ways
yeah.
that it was just bigger than
yeah.
us and
yeah.
things
that's
would
right.
work.
Just
and,
flow.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
flow.
And I think when we say it's bigger than us, I think one of the things that I kept on remembering as well is this film was the first film in the history of New Zealand cinema to have women of Pacific Māori descent, or Pacific
mm.
descent, because we had Wadu before that, with in all above the line roles, so director, writer, producer, and with Pacific women in the lead.
Mm.
First.
It feels like the only film that's ever been made with a collection of women. I mean, that's like
that
above
across
the
generation,
line,
across generation.
Across generation, across oceans. Like,
it's,
yeah.
this feels like a new form of filmmaking.
It's so
really.
Rare to see, you know, duo female directors, let alone
more than two and across generations as well.
Yeah.
Is that something that you thought about a lot? The fact that this is something that has never been done before?
It actually has been done before.
Oh, it has.
In a different way. But I think what this sort of model of filmmaking does is it really does draw on those collective values throughout Oceania. Mm. You know, your success isn't based on your individual success, it's based on the success of your family or your whānau or your village or your particular island within your country. You know, so I think that's what's really beautiful about it. But I think the thing that makes this, well, for me anyway, that makes it so amazing is when you think about how quickly, I mean, it was, we delivered a feature film, a finished feature
months.
Film in December. So if we started in May.
May. Started shooting in August. Started shooting at the end of July.
It's
amazing.
I mean, yes, it was in development before we came along, but
the actual film
script. 8 months.
Yeah.
From script
to
delivery.
I hope that's inspiring to a lot of other people who think that it's too hard to do a feature or to put down these important things. Because you put down like I don't know, because I'm not obviously from your cultures, but what seemed like important rites of passage that I've never seen before on screen, and maybe we'll see more and more if it's seemingly more accessible and it's easy to make. Well, not easy, because it's obviously not easy.
But achievable.
But achievable, you know what I mean? That's like, there's a reason we don't see these stories. It's because there's so many barriers to entry and so many gatekeepers.
Yeah,
but
absolutely. This was able to be made because of the people that got behind it. Right.
Yeah.
Producers, New Zealand Film Commission, the
NZ
crew,
on Air.
New Zealand on Air. I mean, they really, it's them as well.
Yeah.
It was everyone, the drive to get it done.
What's it like to make a film that's like deeply connected to your purpose, as opposed to just a film for the sake of, I mean, maybe you just made it for the sake of some other reason, but we've just interviewed so many filmmakers who do film for one reason and it's not connected to like their soul or their culture.
Yeah.
I cry a lot.
Yeah.
You
do.
You
weep.
Yeah.
You're
questioning your identity.
Yeah.
But it was a really beautiful and safe space to sort of explore.
It was a really safe space.
I found it healing, like, in a lot of ways that I didn't know or anticipate or expect, and it's still sort of continually healing, which is really, it's been a gift, I think, in that regard. Yeah.
But that space had to be held and made safe for us to be able to explore these things that are deeply connected to us. And I think that's where Kerry and Kyle did an incredible job, because I think if the space didn't feel like that, we wouldn't have been able to delve into these really, you know, intense themes around identity, the pressure to assimilate, migration, leaving one's family, one's island, one's community, not necessarily going back. What happens when you do go back? All of it. Yeah.
Well, seriously, and what's it like premiering it in such a like toxic colonial country like Australia? Like, what are you expecting tonight? Because there is a big Pacifica explosion here of arts and culture.
Right.
That's really inspiring.
Yeah,
it's
sold out.
Yeah.
They've added another screening.
It seems exciting.
Yeah,
it's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
It needs to happen more.
You know,
they're
going to bust it.
Totally.
Seriously.
Bust it open.
But just hearing like about the government that's just got in and like the things that they captured on mics about, like, you know, global warming and like rising sea levels and stuff, like, it just seems so important that this film exists.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
You know, and reaches people. Was
but
that was that was like global warming on your mind when you're making this film, or?
Well, it's definitely on
offers
the
and
media,
and
media as well.
Yeah, because I think it was definitely offers, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The lack of water, and yet surrounded by so much water.
Mm.
Yeah.
And her peace.
And that was a result of the cyclones that have been going through.
That's right.
You know, and that was a really real lived thing that's actually happening on her island.
Yes.
People don't have clean drinking water.
But then I loved that was also about being philanthropic. You know, we have to boil medicine for New Zealand in that one, right? That's the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
So at the same time as struggling to find water, they're still trying to help across, you know.
Mm.
Yeah,
and the fact that, you know, the ocean, while some see that as a divider, we are still connecting across that ocean, you know, right down to things like medicine, making medicine back in the islands and sending that to somewhere in the diaspora, wherever this person's gone, you know, and this still happens, you know, whether our people are in Australia, whether they're in New Zealand, whether they're in LA, we have all these pockets around the world And yet we're still migrating, we're still sending things. It's pretty awesome.
And I think people of different cultures watching a film like this, you know, it does help to break down that us and them, and you know, to make it more inclusive, because you're connecting in a human way, no matter what, you know, no matter where they're from, there's still something that you're connecting with and understanding. And so it gives people a greater understanding of people's cultures, which is awesome, you know, more tolerance.
Seriously.
Absolutely.
I just also like don't think that white colonizers have anything to fear from decolonization.
I
like,
know.
It's
going
to
be beneficial for
everyone. You know,
and
it's just
still just holding on to that.
Yeah.
And it's just so gross. And then just seeing that, I've been seeing lots of like decolonization memes where like people have been talking about
just
like. Anyway, I shouldn't like.
No, please. Yeah.
It's just like how people are like now critiquing colonized societies for like things that they brought. And it's like such a mindfuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why
yeah.
these films are cool
it's
as well.
Insidious.
Yeah,
yeah.
Insidious. And this is also like such a not like just the fact that it's a collaboration isn't like a French centric way of making film, or like
absolutely.
Not French, but do you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
French,
yeah.
Yeah. But it's like
yeah.
French auteur, like it's anti
yeah.
that. Even
it's
that is anti that.
Totally,
you know?
Totally.
Which is cool. Like it doesn't feel like beholden to that canon or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. Anyway, sorry, I don't even know that was a question. No, I have questions. Sorry, I just like got on such a tangent and I
we love it.
Have
we
to go back to my.
Oh my god,
we do
it.
Talk about stuff like this all the time.
Another question I had was about like the form of the story. I was like, was there ever a time where you thought, let's not have this in chronological, let's cut between them?
Hmm.
Or like, could there be a re-edit in? Or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Like moving the pieces
yeah.
into different.
Yeah.
I think there were conversations in the writers' room where we talked about things, but yeah, I don't think we ever.
There was a little bit of discussion.
Yeah.
There was maybe the discussion that we start with her end of life.
That's right.
And then go through her life, or maybe. Remember you had your initial
first
one?
Original idea, yeah.
Yeah.
Both me and Marina changed our films.
Significantly.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Big
changes, eh?
You did it in the week, which is amazing. And then once I read all the stories together, I realised the one that I had initially written didn't fit.
Yeah.
So mine didn't have a personal, I mean, mine had my own culture and stuff involved with it, but it wasn't my personal story. So I very much wrote what was the best story for Vi. You know, and so when I read all of her life together, I realised that my piece didn't quite fit, and so I rewrote to so it was sort of better for her story.
And what was it like watching it for the first time all the way through?
Oh my god.
Cried like baby.
Really
yeah.
All together.
It was just us in like quite a small room on not a very big screen.
And I guess we had been away from each other shooting for such a while, and we were in constant conversation throughout the process. I remember
was
messaging.
The first time
like,
ages, wasn't it? That
this
we were together physically in the same room.
And so we didn't have. It was such a rough cut, but obviously it's still a 10-minute.
Yeah.
There's only so much we could have cut.
We cried, didn't we?
We cried.
Well, I didn't, because I wasn't there for that.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so we're there in our hearts.
I know. But I remember the evening when I was going to watch it, and I literally like had to have a couple of drinks before by myself, right? And I'm just like, oh my god, I can't believe it. And it was just, it was intense. I remember like just getting to the point where it was like play. And then seeing it, yeah, and it was just so beautiful.
I think we were relieved too though.
Yeah,
I remember we were just like, oh, okay.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. That was really, really like such a pleasure to meet you. Andre lives with the presenter, because we have like our own show, but with the presenter on FBI, and we come on every week, and we showed her the trailer this morning, and she started crying. She was just sitting at the table, just like, absolutely,
it's
she's such
amazing.
A sweet.
Trailer.
Yeah.
I did a talk for the college I work for, the organization, at International Women's Day, and they showed the trailer, and the people weeping, the other presenters that were there.
Oh.
It was the former captain of the Matildas. Was just and just like sobbing. It was almost like, you know, but she couldn't stop, right? Because like it was over and I sat down and she was still kind of like, it obviously deeply affected her. But it was amazing to see the impact of it on people.
Seriously.
Is this when our own women are seeing themselves and hearing their own language? Is that what this is about? Is that why that happens?
Well, she's a...
Oh, she's not Pacific?
No.
No.
I know, but she was just heavily, like...
Something got her. There's some cellular DNA stuff going on.
Oh, yeah, man. I think there's such specificity, or like universality and specificity,
yeah.
Right? Like, that's why we tell these stories.
Yeah.
And also just, like, women working together, it's like,
yeah.
So good.
Seriously.
We kind of came away as sisters after that.
Yeah, we did.
Oh,
right.
My God.
So you'd all never met?
No.
Some of us, I love you.
Marina and my sister.
I knew you a lot. Like, obviously, I'm a stalker and a creep, so I was like, I know this person. And I've watched their films. And, yeah. I was that.
Yeah,
person.
It was absolute privilege to work with these guys. It's the first time I've been involved in anything. So I just be sitting in the same room with other female Pacific creatives and to be working with them and have them feedback on our work and to learn. It was just sort of that in itself. I remember thinking, if I died, you know, tomorrow, it's okay, because I've done what I need to do on the planet.
Thank you. That was
thanks so
thank
much.
You so
I know
much.
We went over.
Yeah.
I know we went over.
Yeah.
It was so much to meet
you.
So we'll send you a link to whatever we.
Oh,
how are we? We'll just send that through Sydney Film Festival? Or?
Yeah, I guess I'll send it to Jim.
How
we'll
do you like?
See,
that's just going to be covered with a whole lot of our cackling.
Good.
Which is what we want.
That's
fine.
That's
fine.
Do you know what I mean?
What do we have to do?
What do
you
want?
Yeah,
no. Yeah, thanks for being so generous.
My witch dreams.
Sure.
I tell you what, he just got us into a forest one night.
Oh yeah,
some birds.
I will burn everything.
Do you know it's
burn the
patriarchy?
Just burn everything.
This is the thing. Do you know in Wellington we have like a festival in which they make a paper mache effigy of a demon and then we go and we march it down.
This podcast is produced by FBI Radio in Sydney. Find more at fbiradio.com/podcasts.